Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the 16th of January. Joining us this morning is Jana Valakovic from Spruce Point, and she brought in a buddy.
I did.
Way to go, girl.
Good morning, everyone.
You going to introduce him or not?
Yes.
And let him swing out there all by himself?
Well, we spend most of this time on the show with me talking about wildfire and forests, and a lot of us this weekend got a bit caught off guard by how much rain we got.
And kind of the antithesis of of forest and fire and things.
Well, yeah, the wet stuff.
Yeah,
the wet stuff. So I thought it would be an entertaining conversation to explore what we just experienced this weekend. And so I reached out to the National Weather Service, and they offered James White. So welcome.
Good morning. Good to be here.
That's just because Troy and Ryan back took a step back and said, "Now we've been there often enough.
Oh, yes.
Let's let the kid step forward."
Yesterday was a holiday, you know. Got to extend the time off.
Oh, smacking on the seniors. All right.
But I heard you were the gentleman in charge of the show for the weekend.
Yeah, I was. I was on the forecast desk.
No, he was at the forecast desk, pulling all the levers, all the dials, making sure everybody had the right information.
Don't
look calibrating behind the predictions.
Don't look behind the curtain.
What are you
saying? Wizard of Oz.
Okay, fine.
All right. Are you ready? We are now in the category of politics and history, so I know this is your long suit, Jana.
No, probably not. None of them are my long suit.
All right. Oh, well, this is kind of apropos based on last night, too. Why are some politicians called lame ducks?
You can help.
Go ahead. Yeah, James, you can step in anytime you want there, bud.
It's supposed to be a flooding reference. Everything floods out and they float on top.
That could be the duck part. How about the lame part?
Well, that's when they're not going to get reelected. Uh-huh. They're at the end of their term. So,
we have unelected ducks walking around.
Right.
Or floating around.
Right.
All right. A lame duck is a powerless American politician. After an election in a parliamentary system such as found in Britain or Canada, the House reconvenes and the winners immediately form the new government. In the American system, however, the newly elected Congress doesn't take control for months, leaving those who have lost still in charge. During this time, because they can't pass anything meaningful, the powerless politicians are as useless as
a lame duck.
Bingo! See, I knew you could fill in the blank. And we're all the wiser for it.
Oh, I'm not sure.
All right. Well, at least we know to stay away from ducks that can't waddle.
Oh, gosh. This is going down. This is going downhill already in the first 3 minutes.
I told you it would. So, James, what mid last week, we were getting some of the high tides or king tides or whatever they're called anymore with the storm coming in and things got a little wetter. Was this just a timing issue or were there other things at work here that caused the water to be at where the water was?
Yeah, it was mostly just how quickly we got all the rain. So, you know, this time of year, we always get these waves, you know, one storm after another is pretty typical. But what was really unique about Saturday's storm was not necessarily the amount of rain, but rather how quickly we got it. You know, we saw anywhere from 3 to 6 inches along much of the coast. Even some places got more than that. And that amount of rain isn't actually all that unusual for us. You know, it's certainly a strong storm, but it's nothing crazy. But what really set this apart is most of that rain fell within 8 hours, you know, a pretty short amount of time. And it's really that rain rate, which was relatively uncommon for us.
So is that equivalent to like a hurricane? I mean, you know, we hear all these other things from throughout the world, and they talk about torrential downpour.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a torrential downpour? Or is that something, I mean, can you label this thing?
It's certainly getting there. You know, we were seeing rain rates of anywhere from 6 to 7 tenths of an inch in an hour. Any kind of tropical system like a hurricane could easily produce over an inch an hour. So
like twice?
Yeah.
Twice that amount.
You could get up to that amount. So that, you know, in terms of when we're comparing it to like a tropical storm or something, it's not necessarily at that high rain rate, but what this was very sustained. You know, we saw that was rain rates pretty consistent throughout that 8 hour period. And that is something that tends to be relatively unique to the West Coast is when they set up, you know, we call them atmospheric rivers a lot of the time. It's just the rain is just very consistent. It kind of picks its rate and it just stays there for a while.
So like it almost stalls out.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A phrase that has been used.
Okay, I'm going to take it on a left term. Where does the expression come? It's raining cats and dogs.
You know, I have no idea. I think that's really thunderstorms.
We had that earlier. Did you get that one?
No. You mean that was in that why was, do we and why do we say it?
Yeah, that was one of those.
Because this was the kind of rain where you couldn't walk out of the house for more than 30 seconds and not be super saturated, not be wet as can be. It's a yellow slicker rain suit kind of day.
Kind of like Hawaii experiences pretty regularly.
I don't know. I have not been there.
Oh, really?
No.
I've been somewhere you haven't? You traveler, you?
Well.
Wow. The things you learn on this show
are so profound. Okay, so then I'll ask a more on-point question. Since we really don't know where raining cats and dogs comes from. Because it was one of those, I also call it like the Hollywood rain effect. You know, if there's a movie and there's rain, you know, there's just this downpour. So, I mean, it was at that scale for many hours.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between it's just raining a whole lot to we think we're getting an atmospheric river to something that's more like a regional storm that... I mean, it seems like in this one, it didn't engage to the south as much as it did to the north. Mm-hmm. So that's why we didn't see the eel rise to the same degree. But all the coastal streams went to record-setting levels. You know, I've been hearing some maybe that this was a 50-year event on some of these streams. Mm-hmm. And so how did we get to that, and how do we think about this respect to these, you know, big flashy terms like atmospheric rivers?
Yeah, so this was kind of an atmospheric river in the most classic sense of the term. You know, a lot of times we just kind of get these weak storm systems or these broader storm systems, and, you know, people call them atmospheric rivers, but they're not necessarily. In this case, you know, it was really, when we look for an atmospheric river, we look for one really defined, narrow band of moisture that just slams right into the coast. And this was pretty much exactly that. You know, one narrow band of moisture that was pretty much just from Cape Mendocino up to Curry County in southwest Oregon. And it was slamming right into the coast right there.
James, because of the long-winded nature of the question, we've run out of time. So hold your thought. We'll be back after the break. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with James White from Woodley Island. Just kind of leave it there. And Yana from Spruce Point.
I know. We're from all the cool places.
Yeah, I know. I just kind of have like Myrtletown.
Myrtletown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Call it the marsh.
Yeah. Well, we did used to have the phrase Marshside Mercury. When Bob Wells was with us, that was the temperature. So. Yeah, now we have a black cat that walks all over the place. So you were in mid-thought there when we took the break, James. Rihanna, you want to restate your question for those who might have joined
us? Well, there's a new term out there called atmospheric rivers that is being used. And so what's the difference between that and what we experienced? And what I think I heard you say was that this was an atmospheric river. I think I misunderstood, and sometimes I thought it was more of a narrow band. Because this, you know, if it's coming from Curry all the way down to the Mendocino area, that feels like a pretty big band. Am I misunderstanding?
No. I think you've got it pretty much exactly correct. As we're talking about like a strong, narrow band of moisture, at least in terms of meteorology from you know, Humboldt Bay to Curry is pretty narrow, you know, where you look usually looking at pretty big systems.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of in contrast. What we're really comparing it to is just like a classic cold front where, you know, it's hundreds and hundreds of miles just sweeping across, whereas an atmospheric river is just that kind of small band that you can trace all the way back to the tropical Pacific. So
gotcha.
Now, when Troy was in, he said that that is different than the jet stream. Different levels in the atmosphere?
Yes, they are. They're different levels. You know, they're connected together. It's all connected together, but they are different things. For example, the jet stream is usually, you know, tens of thousands of feet up. You're talking about where jetliners are flying 40,000 feet. These atmospheric rivers, you know, exactly what height they are vary, but they're often pretty shallow. And like this one was very shallow. Really below 10,000 feet was all that moisture.
The fact that it unloaded so much, you know, we hear stories about honeydew just getting drilled and drilled and mm-hmm. drilled. Is this like, the honeydew factor?
The honeydew factor.
meaning
for
that
the coast? Came stalled and just dumped.
In some ways, it really was. You know, in fact, honeydew is kind of an interesting example because they actually received less rain than they did during similar events last year. What was really the places that really got a lot of rain were really in that narrow band here on the coast. And the reason honeydew gets so much rain is because they're often very well aligned with the wind. So oftentimes these systems, they come in with a south wind and they hit the King Range and it just dumps right over honeydew. Well, most of the wind during the heaviest rain here was actually from the west, which is really well aligned with, you know, kind of our South Fork Ridge, you know, our Humboldt kind of mountains here all the way up to Crescent City. And so that more west wind just slamming right against the mountains. So very similar, kind of very similar dynamics are probably at play.
Well, you know, it was interesting for me in that I was really struck by the King Tides this year. And they peaked, I think, Friday with 8.7.
Something like that.
Driving to work, I now drive to work and over the Samoa Bridge. And so Indian Island was really not much of an island. And, you know, just really getting some sense of appreciation of how much water the bay was holding. Mm-hmm. And then just realizing how saturated we were. Knowing that there was going to be a heavy rainfall this weekend, you know, I wasn't paying that much attention, though I'm in the county system, and so I have the privilege of getting the Office of Emergency Services weather alerts, and so I got this weather alert early Saturday morning. Hey, it looks like the Mad River is going to go, it's going to flood, and it was like down the level to getting closer to one of the higher levels, but the prediction was talking about low-lying flooding from 101 mm-hmm. to the west, not in Blue Lake and not in these places that really took a lot of water and I think caught a whole lot of people off guard. If you look at how much water went over Bank and Corbell, mm-hmm. You know, just basically the post office was inundated, the old post office at Corbell, the Green Diamond Nursery got hit really hard. It pushed back up, you know, getting closer to the log decks in there. And then, you know, it worked. It's all the other, like Powers Creek took on a lot of water. And so there was a lot of, you know, you could see this on some of the blog posts this weekend around, you know, how much water was pooling up where. I think the good news was that the Blue Lake levee worked really well. And so it made me start to wonder, well, with the effect of the King Tides, was that, you know, an additional
compounding
effect in that there wasn't enough space for the water to go out, but yet this was the Mad River, which doesn't drain into the Humboldt Bay. So can you share anything about that setup?
And, you know, any kind of these systems are really complicated, and it's kind of difficult to tell what effect came from where. We did have King Tide. In fact, the tide ended up being higher on Saturday than it was on Friday just because we had wind pushing water into the bay.
The storm surge?
Exactly. Yeah. Though in terms of the coastal flooding impacts we tend to look for, it was actually relatively minor. What impact King Tide had on flooding is really hard to determine. Did it have some? It probably had some impact, especially on like the sloughs right next to the bay and stuff like that. But how much impact it would have all the way back to Blue Lake? You know, my intuition would say probably not that much, actually.
But Jacoby Creek.
Maybe, yeah. The lower
Salmon
parts
Creek.
Of those sloughs next to the bay, like McDaniel Slough and Arcata, because I know we had some reports of that flowing over 255 around the bay and stuff like that. Some coastal flooding probably had some impacts on those, but for the most part, we tend to see those impacts be kind of two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal flooding versus how much water is just flowing down the river, especially since a lot of our rivers have such steep gradients right at the coast.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with James White from the National Weather Service and Jana Valakovic from UC Cooperative Expansion at Spruce Point.
Way to mumble it.
I understand. Well, I don't want to give away. It's like giving away the address of the Batcave.
Oh, right, because I'm in an undisclosed location?
That's right. We're in a high demand, and you get the call from the commissioner, and you got to move. You know, we don't want people getting in the way.
That's true.
The fan club factor.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, James, I guess you do have a fan, huh, apparently?
A fan?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Our
No. You have to disclose these people, because then it loses its mystique.
I was just getting secret information from a local expert that there should be no tidal influence at Blue Lake.
The Mad, what, it's about to the bridge. You know, how far up does the brackish water come, and then it
he's somewhere in there. I don't know where that line is. But it was more just like what happened? Where did all this water suddenly converge? And
well, the drainage is the thing that I'm intrigued by. Is we get some of these, and it takes 4 or 5 days for it to go through, and we're watching flood gauges and things are going stupid crazy, and this time it didn't seem to be that way.
Well,
it's universal as what it traditionally is. So you'd mentioned, James, that Delmarva County kind of got tagged pretty good.
It wasn't nearly as record-breaking as down here. The Smith River through Crescent City there, and Jedediah Smith saw their highest flow since 2016, I believe. So it was certainly wet, but not as record-breaking up there.
Didn't go over the bridge.
No, not over the bridge. There was some flooding, on some of the kind of state highways around there, but not on 199 itself, not on 101.
No, it was on 199. That'd be really high.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I was thinking more of the pasture land north of Crescent City might have been.
But I was talking to a county supervisor over the weekend who was driving on Saturday on 199 and reported coming back to Delmarva County, so coming from the north to the south, and then driving through the recent fire scar area and saying that there was a lot of mobility that was happening as a result of all that water. I'll explain it. All of that water coming down quickly and, moving logs, moving debris, moving things that, would normally be anchored because
they grow legs.
Most of us would call it landslide.
Well, it wasn't just landslides. It was also
or
just
mudslide.
Like, well, he was explaining that the Smith had a number of logs in it that were moving directly towards some of the bridges. There was a lot of standing water on the road itself like depths over a foot in some locations, and he was really happy to be going home and not trying to get out.
I'm kind of geeking a little bit. It's kind of like a sample of the 64.
Well, I think.
Yeah. Oh, look, there are trees and there's water and for those of us that are too young to have remembered.
Well, and that's the real issue is really when we get these, high intensity events. How does our whole system work? And so I'm going to, maybe pivot back to the forestry side of the equation because we've done a lot of work in the last couple of decades to really engineer our roads to be able to pass this kind of water quickly. But it takes a lot of careful effort just to make sure that culverts mm-hmm. don't get plugged, because, you know, the debris comes down and that can lead to, you know, kind of catastrophic events. So, you know, many of our culverts and our bridge systems are really designed for to be able to respond to these unexpected, you know, but predictable mm-hmm. high water events. And so, you know, the story is going to be interesting to see how things performed as folks get out over the next couple of days.
I'm thinking in some of these areas where there has been new home construction over the last 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it is, and they've got all the culverts and all the, okay. Mm-hmm. Did it work?
Well, exactly.
Did it plan out? Or are these just additional costs that make us feel good instead of really building the capacity to truly address these situations that we do know are going to be coming along periodically?
I reached out to Merritt Perry from the city of Fortuna.
I know him.
Yes, and he'll probably be on your show soon. He was saying that a number of the of the projects they did in Fortuna to alleviate flooding seemed to perform pretty well. And some of the off-channel locations where they were trying to divert some of the water actually saw water this time. And so, you know, the systems seemed to perform relatively well.
Not that you would know, but if it inundated the water processing or the wastewater.
I didn't get that far.
That's what I told you.
I know. Well, you can have him on your show soon, and then you can ask these deep questions. So,
yeah. Deep in sewer water, really. Thanks for the imagery.
You set it up.
So, James, when you guys and gals saw this starting to formulate, mm-hmm. did you go, whoa, this will be fun? Oh, this is going to be interesting. I mean, did you see gradation as it started building up, or was it like, here it comes? Hold on, guys.
Yeah,
and you let Ryan know, and he shot his stuff out.
Exactly. You know, we were in communication. We have our normal briefings, and we directly contacted, you know, Ryan Derby for Humboldt County, and also up there in Del Norte, and we contacted them the day before and made sure they had all the information they need. But as we saw things start to ramp up, you know, the rain was really ending up on the higher end of guidance. You know, that's when we really started going online and posting, you know, flood warnings and all that kind of information. So we had all of that available for the public to see.
I wonder how many computers were dry enough to see.
Well, and what that does is, I mean, that kicks, you know, the cities
exactly.
and the counties
the triggers.
And into play. And, you know, so that immediately deploys, you know, county teams and city teams to start to look for those problem areas and mm-hmm. you know, give direction and roads and anticipation of those things. And I'm sure.
Or say, stay home.
Or stay home, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if I could say it in two words instead of 25, that's where I go.
Well, there you go. Good for you.
How often, James, do you see this happening? I mean, would you be surprised if it happened in 3 weeks?
You know, anything's possible. The weather doesn't know what happened 3 weeks prior. It just keeps rolling the dice, seeing what pops up. You know, these kind of rain rates are unusual. So, you know, I wouldn't expect to see it, you know, right away again.
It's not like the conditions that lead to it or led to it are static.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, one thing that you certainly do need for this type of scenario is you need a lot of moisture transport. You need a warmer system.
What?
Oh.
Transport.
Yeah.
Bring them in by truck?
Exactly. It's an atmospheric river, so, you know, it's boats. Boats.
Oh, there we go. Atmospheric boats. Okay, yeah. Now you got me.
But, you know, those type of situations can be, you know, you tip the odds, you tip the scales in favor one way or another, depending on things like El Nino and situations like that.
So let's really play it ugly.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks earlier, we had snowpack in the hills. Let's say it was really a significant snowpack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now how does it play out?
So generally speaking, you know, it seems that the effect of snowpack seems to be a little overestimated a lot of the time, just because that snowpack doesn't all melt at once. It takes a while for the water to filter down there. And, you know, if you have 10 inches of snow, that often only equates to, like, 1 inch of water. So the snow doesn't tend to be as huge an influence, at least not around here. As far as we can tell, 1964, for example, the year that kind of stays in everybody's mind, snow actually wasn't a huge impact. It just kept raining, similar to this past event.
But it lasted longer.
Yes. That one was a many imagine what we just had, but sustain it for many, many days. You know, this happened, and then everything was coming down right away. So I'm making hand motions.
No. I'm laughing because I think there's shock and awe with the gallon between us.
Oh. Exactly.
Either that or there's sheer boredom. I can't really read the distinction there.
Mm-hmm.
So what would trigger something like this to stall out and to continue to have the moisture that was associated with it?
You just really need the right, the right ingredients is what we always call it. You know, you need something that just stalls out, like a low pressure system, which is what brought this, for example. It just kept moving. That stalls out to our north, for example, that just pulls moisture continuously. Or 1964, I think it was more likely just you had several of the systems back to back. Yeah, so they just kept coming.
So it just depends on the variables.
Yeah, it just depends. You know, meteorology is a lot like cooking. It's a kind of weird analogy, but it's just what ingredients do you have at the time? And sometimes the ingredients just pop out something that you aren't expecting. So don't try that with cooking.
So many analogies I could use at this moment that I should. Now, did a lot of that moisture get beyond the first range in the mountains? I mean, did Willow Creek or Trinity County or Shasta County get hit? Or was that the remnants of this?
They certainly did. The Trinity River reached their highest stage in about 5 years since 2019. And there were certainly some flooding, some more minor flooding and landslides reported on 299 around Willow Creek, east to Sawyer. That's a pretty
burn areas where the trees were dead.
Exactly.
From the snow a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. And so there were certainly impacts, but you get east of Sawyer, and there was very few impacts, just normal snow.
Regular.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I brought up dead trees in Willow Creek. You didn't even think about that.
Oh, I know. I didn't even think about that. The science side of me and working with the scientific community, I mean, we always try to learn from these events and try and figure out how the system worked and, you know, what went well and, you know, are the different, you know, efforts to try and mitigate some of that flooding working and, you know, are we having less overall watershed effects and, you know, do habitat conditions within the stream, are they improved because you actually get the bed of the stream mobilized and you start to move some of that sediment
blow
through?
Out the gunk. Yeah.
Yep. So this, you know, will provide a lot of opportunity for discovery and analysis.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:46.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with James White and Yana Velikovic. So far we've talked about Dona Lloyd County. We've talked about around the Bay Area, a little bit about Blue Lake. There were also water over the roadbed just south of the national park. Surprise on that one, or is that?
Yeah.
I mean, they've spent some money trying to fix the roads up there and the bridges. They just kind of missed what they need to take care of with this one?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the infrastructure side of things so much, though I do know from our perspective, it was definitely probably our biggest surprise was some of the impacts there around Oreck. Is, you know, Redwood Creek that runs through Oreck there, there's a stream gauge there, and it reached its highest stage ever recorded. It was around 31 feet, which is just a foot or two shy of flood stage. Official flood
stage.
It's
never gone over flood stage in Oregon?
Never. No.
Or has this gauge not been in?
Not since the gauge has been there. It's never gone over flood stage.
What's that, 20 years, 25 years?
I'm not sure. Not sure how long the gauge goes back. And, you know, how we measure these things changes a lot over time, depending on what levees are or aren't there, where the gauge is, all that stuff. But at least since we have records there, it's been the highest recorded. And, you know, we don't have really any reports of flooding in Oreck itself, which is good. And we wouldn't expect that with that kind of river gauge.
Yeah, if that happened, that's a whole different level.
Exactly.
Of pain. Yeah.
Exactly. But what we did see is we saw extensive flooding on 101 north of Oreck. As the storm went on, you know, we had reports of multiple feet of water over the highway. You know, it closed the highway for about 6 hours or so as the water flowed through there. And that's probably our biggest surprise from the takeaway of that is just how much flooding we saw north of Oreck there along Prairie Creek.
So did that cell stall out and they get more rain, or is there just less capacity in that area to have the water process?
You know, it's hard to tell. It's probably a combination of the two. You know, they certainly were kind of the focus of rain, you know, right in the center of the atmospheric river. We're talking Cape Mendocino to Curry, or right there. And it's also, you know, there's probably a lot of exposed roadway there. You know, the stream flows right along the road for a long period of time. There's a lot of like prairies in there, you know, like elk, like the elk prairie cabins and all that kind of stuff in that area. I don't know, you probably know more about all that stuff.
Well, I don't know that I know more, but I think it's just a really good reflection on the fact that the levee did hold. And, you know, the engineering was sufficient enough to anticipate, you know, an event of this degree. So, I mean, I think there's also a number of positive messages that are coming out of, you know, the types of investments that have been made to really manage water in places where it can, you know, be problematic for reasons of topography, reasons of, you know, a number of factors that are, you know, also influenced by confinement of the channel, either naturally or by, you know, human development, that things worked pretty well. That's not to say that a lot of people didn't get impacted and, you know, there were flooding in some people's homes. And
that's what I was wondering. Has there been I've not heard that there was a declaration.
No, not I don't think yet. But, you know, I at least keep my ear to the ground and I know that there's a lot of good work happening in Ferndale and in Fortuna and in Jacoby Creek and in Elk River. And, you know, there are a lot of groups that are coming together to really try and do the engineering studies and figure out some ways to manage water when we hit these super high water events. I mean, I know that Berta Road and Elk River, you know, had a lot of water and more than people have seen in a long time. And so, you know, what are the solutions in this, you know, environment that we have where we have human development across a lot of these lower systems, sometimes even floodplain systems, and, you know, we want to protect those people.
Is there a solution? Is it just maybe recognition of
it's a bigger question.
Risk? Yeah. Nice to see you, James.
Thank you very much.
You too, Yana.
Yes, thanks for letting me bring a guest in and talk water today.
Talk water.
Appreciate it.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.